I'm Avery Mars.
And I'm Brendan Roach.
And you're listening to the Kettle Club podcast on the St. Joseph's Sports Network.
Hello, welcome to the Kettle Club podcast. I'm joined by my co-host, Avery.
Hello, everyone.
I'm Brendan. And today we're going to be talking a little bit about some pregame rituals, just what we have done before in the past, before a game, before a big meet, or before whatever we were going into.
Yeah, do you have any rituals you want to share with the podcast before we have our guests on?
Yeah, and I think I told you off air, for whatever reason, no matter how early or whatever I had to wake up for something, I always had to shower, and it was just like a thing to,
That's good. I'm sure your teammates appreciated that you showered.
Well, actually, funny thing you say about that is before wrestling meets, I would purposely not put on deodorant so the other kid had to smell
me. Evil and disgusting. Yeah. We're going to keep that moving. Do you have any other ones other than your shower?
I mean, I think I listened to music every time before I went out to anything.
Yeah.
Most of the time, I never did well with like pump up, but like head clearing music.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of like more so not like vocally oriented songs.
Instrumentals, you mean?
Yeah, yeah. I used to listen to the XX a little bit before like wrestling or before baseball, and they like,
that's pretty calm. That's like almost meditation.
And
like
it's like it would like really like get me like focused. Right. And like I thought, I mean, baseball, I can't really get pumped up to hit a baseball. It doesn't really help you. So with that, it really just cleared my head and like helped me zone in on what I was about to go and do.
Yeah, I think for me, music was the only thing I probably did consistently. And it wasn't ever like the same artist or type. I kind of just like whatever was flowing through me that day, I guess, in a sense. Because I always thought like if I had a routine or a ritual and it didn't go well, then my headspace would be, it would just not be good. So I kind of did the complete opposite. So it's always interesting. I did shower. So I guess that counts as one.
Did you put on deodorant?
I did do that as well. Right. Yeah, I actually like care about my teammates and even the people I play against. I didn't want them to think, oh, there's Avery. She's a smelly one. No. So I definitely showered, kept my hygiene up, you know, brushed my teeth, things like that. But I definitely didn't have anything else. And I think it's always interesting to hear people that have a very set routine and, you know, how it works for them. And I think that's the important part is people have to do whatever it is that gets them kind of in game mode. And our first guest today is Mary Sheehan, who is a former teammate of mine. So we're both smiling happily right now, talking to one another. And when we first kind of came up with this topic, I thought exactly of Mary Sheehan because I had a feeling in my head that she had some routines, and I didn't know what they were, but she does. So, Mary, thank you for being on.
Yes, thank you for having me. And I got to say, I'm glad I was teammates with Avery and not Brendan based on this whole deodorant fiasco.
You were actually my locker mate, so you would have definitely smelled me if there was a problem.
Very cleanly.
Yeah.
With baseball, I would. And like any other sport, but like only on meet days. And like I would layer up with like sweatshirts. So nobody could smell me after I got off the mat. It was only the kid on the mat. So.
Okay. That sounds like an excuse. You were still, he was definitely still smelly.
Yeah,
it's fine.
I'm sure my parents didn't like it, but it's all right.
So how do you start your mornings, Mary? Starting with a shower, I'm guessing, or?
Yes, no. So my shower usually comes later in the day, pretty much. so for my mornings, I actually have a little reminder on my phone every day. It has three things that I just kind of made it myself. So it's be the best version of you, bring joy each step of the way, and be where your feet are. So that's just kind of
a great
like
start.
Gets my mindset, you know, kind of like set for the day. And then I have this motivation app on my phone that just sends me a daily quote. So a lot of times I feel like my day kind of goes off the quote. So I usually hope it's a good one to start out. Sometimes it's a little
stay in the house today.
Yeah.
It's not safe out there.
Sometimes it's a little shaky. I'm like, okay, this one.
Off.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much how I usually start every day. So.
And did that start in high school, in college? When did kind of that morning start for you?
So that like officially like a set routine like that with literally the reminder and the app notification actually started this year. I'd always like done, I guess, different things like that same like gist in the morning, kind of like setting my mindset for the day. But definitely this year, I just kind of thought like big year for me. Just kind of want to, you know, certain things I wanted to like work on. And I was like, all right, let me just get like a routine because I am a routine based person, mm-hmm. but I never really had like a morning like mindset thing. So I figured, like, give it a shot. So this year, probably summer session was the first time I started doing it and kept rolling through. So.
Right. And when will you wake up? I'm asking you, and I kind of know these things as well, but when will you wake up in terms of like game time? Because we played at 7 p.m., so yeah. You can't sleep till 6, you know what I mean? Yeah. So kind of explain what time you wake up and kind of what happens next after you go through that first part of your morning.
Yeah, so yesterday we actually had a 7 o'clock game, so our wake up was 9, and then we get like 30 minutes to kind of get yourself, you know, up and awake and everything. And then we'll go through, we'll have breakfast, and usually watch film, and then we'll go and shoot around at the other team's gym for about an hour or so, come back, have a team study hall, just try and, like, make it a normal day. And that's if we're away. If we're home, you know, you go to your classes that you can make. And then after that, we'll have pregame meal about 4 hours before the game. And then official warm-up time is 65 minutes before game time. And then for me, I just like to get on the court early. So I shoot with our one assistant coach, Katie.
Shout out KK,
the GOAT, an hour and 40 minutes before the game. So if it's 7 o'clock game, we'd be out there at 5:20.
Right. So what are you eating? You said breakfast and pregame meal. I think pregame meal is probably a little more like strict because you only have certain options, but breakfast you might be able to choose. So what are you eating for breakfast?
Yeah, for breakfast, lately we've been getting a waffle bar. So that's been real nice. Yeah, I usually have that with some fruit and eggs pretty much.
A waffle bar. Yeah. We didn't have that.
I know.
What's a waffle bar?
It's actually it's from Aramark, so it's kind of like as if you're a Campion, but they just bring over like the batter and stuff, and they got the machine.
I was thinking
fresh?
A bar, like a protein bar, or something like that.
Like a make your own waffle. Like
No, these are gourmet waffles. Yeah. I can imagine what you guys are doing with these. Yeah. So they're fresh. You just make them, put them. Is this in right here where we are?
So they'll bring it into the fuel room. We just everybody just kind of goes in.
Luxury.
Yeah. It is.
Listen, we don't have waffle bars.
We're 7-Eleven around here, you know. Yeah.
Did baseball have waffle bars?
We had JD McGillicuddy. Shout out. we had their breakfast. Some eggs usually, maybe a bagel or two.
Yeah. Well, we used to have Landmark breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We stopped doing that. I do like that though. Still, that was pretty good. But we do. We'll usually do like Aramark catering for the breakfast, and then pregame meal is typically Great American Pub, I think.
Yeah, and I know you're a snacker. So what are you snacking on throughout game day preparation?
Yeah, I'm big on like granola bars, protein bars, like usually kind protein bars, like eat any type of fruit pretty much throughout the day, and then like any type of nuts. Like I'm sorry, Ariana, she's got the allergy. That was
She was next to my locker, and she always had food in there. I was like, Merritt, who are you hoarding all this food for? And it would always be nuts, and she knew I'm allergic. So every time she would crack it open, she would, like, turn her back to me and be like, are you okay? I'm like, yes, Mary, I'm fine.
I did clear up that it's not airborne, right? You're allergic?
No,
okay.
No,
so I did clear that up before.
Yes,
before.
She did. But you're always so worried. I'm like, Mary, it's really okay.
I know. Well, so. I was there for Italy when we had allergic reactions.
Yes,
so that was
that. We'll keep that off air because it's just embarrassing. But Brenda, do you have any, like, snacks that you kind of had, too, when you were preparing for games?
Yeah, I mean, I always, like, would carry around Uncrustables before, like...
Can't have those either. Yeah. What is this?
Okay. I used to love those before a wrestling meet. But, like, also with wrestling, it was completely different because you were, like, cutting weight. And then you would go in and you'd be like, oh, I can eat now? Yeah. And then it'd be, like, kind of like a mischievous kind of, like, I can eat now.
Right.
So, with that, yeah, usually, like, I would pack, like, 2 Uncrustables and then have just multiple different things. But with that, it was mostly hydration, making sure you were hydrated before a match.
Yeah.
And then baseball, it's baseball, so it's a little bit different. not to say that what you're eating is not important. It's just different. It's not as influential, I guess, on your actual performance, according to me.
Right.
I mean, somebody else might have a different opinion.
Yeah, everyone's different for sure. But I think... one thing is hydration is key. I think everyone always says that and kind of drills that into you no matter what sport you're on. And I've always seen you with a water bottle in your hand. No plastic, which is good. So you carry your own little, Gatorade now?
Gatorade bottles.
So how was like hydration and that play into it? Because it's hard to drink a lot of water.
Yes.
Like people don't, what do you need, 8 ounces? No.
Over the course of the day, you're supposed to drink like.
So I think it's like 6 8-ounce bottles or something like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they try to tell you to drink a gallon a day.
Yeah.
Which is just
so
a lot.
So Mary probably gets close to that.
Yeah.
You drink a lot of water.
Yeah, the Gatorade bottles are 32 ounces. So I'm like, all right, I usually like try and I make a conscious effort to make sure I like drink like, okay, got to get one in like before practice. And then during practice, you think you drink probably like close to one. And then afterwards, I always make sure have like another full one before I go to bed or by the time I go to bed. And then like at least like a Gatorade. And I don't really drink like – really pretty much anything else. Like I'm pretty much like water, Gatorade, like a sports drink, or like milk pretty much.
Like, yeah, I agree. I don't think I really, like, I'm not really a juice person. I don't really drink anything too, like, sugary. I feel like, especially on a game day, it kind of would, like, just sit there. Even Gatorade. Yeah. I feel like I see a lot of people, a lot of the men's teams drink, like, Gatorade. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just, for me, it's too heavy pregame, you know?
Yeah, but we get the G2s now a lot. Okay. So, like, that's, and I'll usually drink it, like, during the game and then, like, after.
What is it just less sugar?
It's less sugar, yeah. Okay. So it's, like, a little bit lighter in your stomach and stuff, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, when I used to wrestle, I couldn't drink Gatorade. It was just, like, too much. It was too much sugar.
Yeah.
And then I was just, like, yeah, right now I only drink, like, water.
Yeah.
And then Joe, our producer's favorite thing, pre-workout before a workout.
Yeah, you don't do any pre-workout, do you?
No.
Okay, I don't know if I'd like to see you on pre-workout.
I don't think,
You're not coffee, really,
I'm not. I don't really, I'm a pretty aged person anyway, so
yeah,
I'm
imagining you on coffee, and I'm a little frightened. KK, I'm surprised she hasn't, like, asked you to go and get coffee with her, and
she's come down a few times, and she's like, you want Starbucks? I'm like, nah, I'm good.
Like, I'll get a hot chocolate.
Yeah.
So then, okay, so you're doing all this hydration, you're eating what you eat every day. When you come onto the court, do you shoot a certain amount of shots? Do you stay on for a certain period of time pregame? Because I know we have to be there an hour ahead. That's kind of when our warm-up starts, and obviously you have to get taped and vice versa and do all these different things. But is there a certain amount of shots you shoot or anything like that that kind of stays the same?
It's the same, not amount of shots. Well, I guess same amount of makes. So I guess it depends on how well I'm shooting in that warm-up. But yeah, I'll start off. I just make like three with one hand with my right hand close to the basket, three with my left, and then just keep backing up. And then kicking out, I'll go like elbow, elbow, wing, wing, and then just pretty much work our way around the perimeter shooting threes, and then some like pull-ups are mixed in. But the routine is always typically the same, unless like sometimes if it's KK scout, she'll be like, okay, like I know you're gonna get this shot, so like we'll work on that. Like
she's
a little
extra
bit.
Passionate when it's her scout. She hits a different like volume and everything she does when it's her scout.
Extra shout out because she won her scout last night. So.
Oh, there you go. Listen, she's gonna be. We have to get her to listen one because she's gonna be excited. But I also heard Nikki told me that you guys weren't really making a lot of shots last night in warm-ups.
Yeah, no.
So how? But then you guys obviously won and shot really well. So how does that play into like your routine if you're not hitting those shots? Like,
yeah,
what
you
got to
leave
that
on a make, right?
Yeah. Always. Okay. Leave
on a make. Good.
Yeah.
There you go. I mean, it's sometimes it's to like almost to a fall for everybody because like we'll try. You know, we meet before we go in the locker room at the 30-minute mark, and then we'll meet again like at the 1-minute mark right before we go in, like as a team.
Yeah.
And everyone's trying to get their last make in. Yes. And we're like down to 20 seconds. I'm like, all right, love you guys. We got to go.
Yeah.
Like we got to go. But yeah, no, always got to leave on a make. And I feel like for me personally, like if I didn't see it, I try to make the most of like what the situation is. So like if I made a bunch of shots, I'm like, all right, I'm feeling it. Like here we go. If I missed, I'm like, I saved it for the game. Like, you know.
Right.
So I feel like that's pretty much what I try to do. But
I mean, for us, like when we would go on the road for baseball, we'd have less time like out on the field. And I kind of like that a little bit more. I feel like if you're at home, like we would take BP and then the other team would come and take BP and we'd go back in the locker room and you'd be there for a couple hours pregame. So almost away games, I feel like for prep, it's like you're there for a shorter amount of time that actually does you good. So like, do you like have a preference on how long you're out on the court, how much break you have in between your shoot around in the game time? Or
I know if I can speak for my teammates, they definitely like a smaller warm up. We always think warm up's a little long, and a lot of times like
a little,
yeah, it's pretty long.
An hour feels like
and it's a lot of time for like to think and for things to change. Like you could shoot amazing in the first like you know first. There's three segments. In the first segment, you could be great.
Yeah.
Then like the second, you could be great too, and the last one, you're terrible. You're like, oh my god, now I'm going in like feeling a certain way. So yeah, I think personally, I don't really mind. Like I like just to be out there shooting. I guess shorter is always kind of nice. Like not too much shorter, like enough where you're like, okay, I got shots in. Like we had a Christmas tournament and we literally, I think we got like 8 minutes for like one of the games because we were the second game, like on the court. So I wouldn't love that, but like maybe like probably 30-ish.
It's like the happy medium of not like mentally being too drained where you're just like locked in for a good hour. Because you're shooting before the warm-up.
Yeah.
That's an hour and a half before the game that you're locked in.
Yeah.
And that's difficult for anyone to do.
Yeah.
And like you kind of said, because we break it up in three different parts. By the third part, you're getting maybe two shots, right?
Exactly.
Because it's like more of a team thing versus individual layups. Mm-hmm. So I think that's always interesting to kind of see how, like you said, the first one, it's like, oh, little stretch, some like leisure shots. And then I think it kind of locks in a little bit more. But like Brendan said, like being away for away games, does your routine change at all in terms of, you know, we get there at a different time for sure. And you're not around the court as much. So does your routine change at all when you go away?
A little bit. Two things change. So they didn't talk about it at all yet, but I have like a little checklist I do before games. So when I'm in a home game, I do it in the locker room right before I go out on the court. And then on away games, I do it right before I get on the bus. So that's like a little bit, I don't, because sometimes we'll get there later. Mm-hmm. So the second I get in the locker room, I throw on my shoes and I meet Katie on the court as fast as possible usually.
You do. You are always the first yes. one out of the locker room.
I run in. I'm already dressed. I got everything
going on.
We're
like, where's Mary? They're like, oh, she's out on the court.
Yeah. Come in, get, you know, take off the sweatsuit and yeah. get on out there. So that would probably be the two or the one thing that changes. And then sometimes, depending on the time, the amount of shots we take will be a little bit less.
Okay.
Yeah. Depending on like the other team's out or
okay, and what's the full checklist? Can you go through that?
Yeah, so there's three things. So
it's making me anxious thinking about you filling out your checklist.
It's funny, it calms me down a little bit. But so I'll go through the scout first and like pretty much an overview of everybody, but specifically my matchup, like you know their tendencies, this and that, and then I try to like do like visualize like plays I think that'll happen in the game or that I want to happen in the game. So shots I think I might get. Situations I'll be in on defense, opportunities to pass, this and that. And then just trying to like go through that in my head. And then the last thing I do is I'm a pretty faithful person. So I have the same prayer that I kind of like made up, say before every game. So,
yeah. So can you, I know these things, but I'm interested as well to hear it from your perspective. When we do, shoot around, we have a part where we go through the scout. And I think that in itself is a routine one, because it takes kind of preparation beforehand, like the night before, the day before.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about scout and kind of how that works without revealing too much?
Yes,
having
definitely.
Coach Griffin, you know, try and like sue our podcast or yeah. something.
Definitely, yeah. So so the starters all have an individual matchup going into the game. And, you know, you're expected to know every, you know, 1 through 10 or 12, whoever's on the scouting report. But you have to know pretty much verbatim, your person.
100% verbatim.
Yes, yes,
your person.
Yes, you have to know your person.
Be honest.
Definitely. And if we're switching, you really should know the other ones yeah. that you'll be switching with too. So we'll go over, we'll meet in a team huddle, and we'll pretty much just, you know, say them out loud so that, you know, you can show that you know it and your teammates can hear it. And that starts, yeah, like you said, the night before. You know, you're looking at it the night before in the hotel, in your dorm room, just making sure you have it, and then you're looking at it in the morning leading up and a little bit in film sometimes and then yeah. when you get out there. And for me, actually, I think I learned probably my freshman year. I didn't play really at all in the beginning and played a little bit in the middle before I got hurt. But I really got confidence from knowing the scout. Just like, you know, before the game started, I'm sitting on the bench and I'm like going through it and I'm seeing them. I'm thinking about what I know in my head and then I'm seeing it on the court and thinking, okay, when I go in, I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. And I think in general, a lot of my confidence comes from my defense, like playing well in defense. So that definitely came from knowing the scouting report and really like locking in and not only knowing my kid, just knowing everybody, you know?
Yeah.
So that's helped me.
Well, I think that time period, when you did come back, but before your injury, I should mm-hmm. say, and you started playing, I think it was awesome to see you one be in shape because it's hard to not play, especially as yeah. a freshman, to not play for the first month or so
yeah.
and then come and try and like run around yeah. the court and do everything that everyone else yeah. has been doing for a month. But like you said, I think you did know the scouting report. And I think that was also really important because like you were helping other people who have been playing for a month or so, but like we knew you knew it, which is crazy.
Yeah.
But Brendan, thanks. You're welcome. But Brendan, did you have any like scouting report things or things you had to know about the other team?
I mean, yeah. Okay. I don't think I can share that. I think my coach would be after my head if we detailed anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, the scouting report, it's really thorough by okay. our coaching staff. It's usually who's pitching, mm-hmm. Who's set to start on the weekend for the other team because it's a 3-game set. And then you have all the scouting reports on all the pitchers.
Wow.
And then
did you have to know it though? Like did anyone ask you like what does this pitcher do, or is this like was that ever a thing?
It's usually you go into the weekend and you read the scouting report for the pitcher, right? Mm-hmm. For the people who are starting, because you don't know what's going to happen after that point.
Yeah.
You usually know most teams have 3 or 4 guys who are primarily coming out of the pen. So like to know those people would be helpful. But then it's taking what you know about the scouting report and going up to your at-bat and really evaluating and then coming back to the dugout and sharing that information with your teammates. So that
right.
Because it's one person is going out there mm-hmm. per opportunity. It's not yeah. 5 people on the court at one time. So it's a little bit different in that way.
Yeah.
And then opposite, vice versa for the pitchers, they know the hitter's tendencies as much as we can get information on them. And they share that again with the rest of the pitching staff.
Right. Yeah, it seems like pitching is like a very important aspect, I think, in terms of scouting.
Yeah.
Whereas I think with basketball, it's pretty much every position. Every person, yeah. You know, like if I remember, if something happened that was on the scouting report, like you were honed in on for it. Like you yeah. definitely had, you were talked to about it afterward, yeah. you know, post game, because it's a big thing. And I think not just left and right hand or baseball, if you're right or left handed mm-hmm. in terms of pitching, I think it's important that. Looking back on it now, it is definitely important to know, you know, what the other players are doing as best as you can. But did you have anything post-game that you did, like recovery-wise, that you do every time the same or no? You kind of just, that one's done, move on.
Yeah, pretty much move on to the next one, okay. actually. Yeah, I know. I feel like that's probably my next step, something I should probably do right. a little bit better of. Actually, I mean, the one thing I do always do, like, you know, win, lose, or draw, or whatever, I walk off and, like, if as long as I got my health, my teammates have their health, I like, take that as a small victory. You know what I mean? So
huge victory, Mary.
Yeah, I know. That. Yeah, huge victory.
I love that. No, yeah. I agree.
So.
Yeah, and you've definitely had, you know, your struggle with injury, and I think that can kind of throw you off routine-wise, I'm sure, because you're not preparing for a game when you're injured the same way that you do when you're playing. So did that – can you kind of talk about how that changed it all, if it did for you, when you were injured versus coming back?
Yeah, that was definitely an adjustment, but I mean, honestly, not – like, just with the injured part of it. But I'd had the same injury before. I had dislocated my shoulder in high school and had labrum surgery and did it again my freshman year. And I would probably say that, like – like, you know, I had sat in the beginning of the year, so I was kind of, you know, used to being on the bench and, you know, just being a supportive teammate sort of thing and doing what I could. But I think it actually almost helped my perspective and, like, knowledge of the game a little bit, because I'm able to sit there and watch. And, you know, even if you, you know, if you're – there's a difference between being dressed and not playing and being hurt and not playing.
Very
so,
big difference.
Yes. Yeah, so being dressed, you're kind of anxious. You're like, am
basically
I going to go
win? Basically the nerves, right.
Exactly. Yeah. So now you're sitting there and you're just really taking in the full game, trying to communicate with people as best you can on the court. Just like, you know, see the cut, this and that. Mm-hmm. And it just gave me kind of like, also just more of a sense of gratitude, you know what I mean? For like what I have just to be here, be a part of this team regardless. And how fortunate, I am that, you know, it is something I can absolutely come back from. So it also gave you like motivation, you know, to like work harder to come back. So,
yeah. And you seem very wise, which I know you are, but you're also a captain on the team this year. Can you talk about that in terms of how you kind of had to change certain things about going around with your routine or how you show people kind of how to do things? Because as an upperclassman in general, forget the captain even, upperclassmen, people look up to you. So does that kind of play in part two with what you're doing pregame, postgame, maybe even a day leading up to the game, kind of what your mentality is?
Yeah, definitely. Learned from a great captain over here. Shout out, Ave. but yeah, so for me, like, I'm a little bit not I guess sometimes like I like to do things alone, like not even that I like to, I just end up doing that. So I think definitely as a captain, I've learned more so, you know, bring people along with you as much as possible. And it wasn't like a conscious thing. I'm like, oh, I want to be by myself. Like, don't talk to me. Don't come near me.
Yeah.
I would just go and do different things. And definitely in preseason leading up to the season and everything, I tried to, as much as possible, make sure that when I was doing something, I brought somebody with me or, you know, threw it out there like, hey, you guys want to do this? You want to come shoot with me? You know, do you want to get extra sprints in, that sort of thing? And I definitely think also as a captain now, as we got into the season, try and do that as much as possible. But there's just less of that now because it's, you know, everyday practice and just less extra stuff as the season's gone on. But I always make sure, you know, I'm talking to my teammates and just keeping them, you know, as positive as possible, whether it was a great game or a bad game for the team as a whole, maybe them as an individual. And I try to just be cognizant of, you know, how people are acting or how they, you know, they seem to feel.
Yeah, get a pace for the team.
Yeah, and just always know or always make sure that they know how, like, valued that they are on the team, regardless of what's happening.
Right.
So great game. I'm texting them, great game, so proud of you, keep it up. Not their best game. Hey, we need you at practice tomorrow. We need you for the next one.
Right.
So, you know, I've tried to do that as much as possible and not think about as myself and, like, as a captain. I mean, as a, you know, on a team in general, it's not about your individual performance, but really, I think more so as a captain too, you know, if I, you know, I hope I don't go 0-for on the day, you know what I mean? I hope I played well, you know, to help us win and everything, but as long as we get the win, you know, at the end of the day, that's literally all I care about. So I think that's, just reaching out to my teammates has been a big thing for me.
Yeah.
And I think as like an older player, as an upperclassman, as a captain, whatever, what have you, whatever you're doing, you kind of become more cognizant of other people's pregame rituals. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because I was listening to an interview with Kevin Garnett recently, and he noticed when he was older and he came to the Celtics that people have different things going on and they have different things. Have you like noticed that you almost take consideration to other people's pre-grand thresholds and like seeing if there's something off and seeing if you need to pick your player, like another player up before the game? Like, have you had to do that? Have you like noticed that you kind of pay attention to people's?
Definitely, pre-game? Yeah. Especially like with how long our warmups are, you can see someone lose confidence in shooting like in a warmup. And yeah. So I'll look at them and be like, hey, you're going to make these in the game. Like, do not worry about this right now. Like, okay. Next shot mentality, and like, you can get it right here. And this, like, a lot of times I'll be like, all right, this is, you know, I'll almost make a joke. Like, all right, this is the time to miss. Get them out now. Like, right. Here we go. And then definitely to pick them up like that. But also just being cognizant of their routines. Like, you know, a lot of girls take naps before. So you walk in the locker room, quietly close the door.
The door is never shut quietly. Let's just
know,
say that.
I know. I've tried. Yeah. For the most part. But, yeah, just kind of, you know, give everyone – you do pick up on people's routines and give everyone kind of their space to do what they want to do.
Well, I think when we wanted to do this topic, I first thought of you because I knew you had routines, like I said. So I think it is interesting, though, that some players have routines that don't necessarily appear as a routine, like taking a nap or maybe listening to music and just like kind of being goofy and not mm-hmm. really doing anything really rigid. Because we've definitely had teammates that I would look at them and be like, are you even ready? And they're like, and they score 25 points. Exactly. Good. But I think that's important too, is routines are different for everyone. And I'm obviously just fascinated to hear, you know, yours directly, because I knew you had some stuff going on. I didn't know there was an exact checklist. So that's interesting. But I think you're doing a great job. And I mean that. And you know that.
Oh, thanks so much.
But I just want to say thank you for being on. It was
fun. Thank you for having me. This is awesome. I love to talk. You know that. I love talking to you too.
This is awesome.
I love it.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you for coming out and come and talk to us again about your pregame routine as well as your teammates. And it was definitely interesting to hear about another team's pregame rituals rather than my own team's.
Right. You just got to work on the postgame now.
We'll get back to you next podcast on the postgame.
So.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So let's take a quick break and we'll be right back on the Kettle Club podcast on the St. Joseph's Sports Network.
Hey, it's Avery and Brendan from the Kettle Club podcast here to tell you about our friends at Landmark Americana Tap and Grill, right here on St. Joseph's campus and across the street from Hagen Arena.
Landmark Americana is your home on Hawk Hill for eats and drinks all day long. Landmark offers 14 HD TVs, a private party space, and a wide variety of specials. SGU faculty and staff receive 20% off lunch and discounted drinks every day, as well as happy hour specials Monday through Friday from 4 to 7, including half-price wings, fries, and other appetizers like cheesesteak egg rolls, nachos, and tenders.
Landmark also has trivia on Tuesday nights and bingo on Wednesday for all ages. Come join us at Landmark Americana on 54th Street, right off of City Line Avenue, before a Hawk basketball game or for your next night out. Welcome back to the Kettle Club podcast. We're here with our second guest, Emily Schaefer, who is on the women's track and cross-country team. She's an overachiever in that sense, and we're excited to talk to her about the same thing we were talking about with Mary, which was game day routines and any rituals you have. So let's just start off with what you're studying here and kind of talk about that being on both teams.
Okay, so I study chemical biology, and I have a minor in bioethics, and it's really nice being on both teams. I've been doing this for the past 12 years, so I've definitely learned a lot from it. Cross country is different than track because it's more of a team aspect because you're all together and it's only 7 people. But during track, it's the same thing. It's a team, and you guys got to work together whether or not you know what's going on in somebody else's event because there's a lot going on at once.
So is the preparation going into the different ones also? Or is there a different way you go about it?
Cross country is definitely different than track because we run 5K or 6K in cross country. So we train for longer distances, not as much speed work. We're not training on the track, and we have higher mileage every week. And then during track, depending on what you run, your mileage is either lower or about the same as cross country. So I run the mile and the 3K. And my mileage definitely cuts way down compared to cross country. And we do a lot more speed work when we work out on the track at either Haverford or St. Joe's.
When you're preparing, are the days very similar? So what time, like, would you run for a track meet versus what time of the day would you run for cross country? Does that kind of come into play as well?
So almost every track meet or cross country meet is over the weekend. And in cross country, there's only one race or two if there's like a JV or an open race. but they're usually in the morning. And then for track, it's an all-day event. Sometimes it's more than one day, and you can run anywhere from 10 a.m. to 9:30 at night if you're running a longer event.
So does waking up kind of come into play with that as well? Like, if you're running in the morning, what time are you up in order to kind of get your body moving, and kind of how does that routine start for you?
So the boys coach is very punctual. So we definitely have certain times that we have to be on the bus every time we leave for a meet. So it really just depends on whenever a meet is starting. Like sometimes if we race on a Friday in cross country, the races aren't until the afternoon. So we'll have to get up later or we'll leave the day of. But in track, the meets usually start around 10 a.m. So they're pretty early and we have to be there at least an hour and a half beforehand. So we're up pretty early most of those days.
So on those days, how often are you running? Like, you run how many events was it again?
I run two different events, but usually you only run one or sometimes two during a track and field meet.
So with that, what do you do in those times that you have off? Like, I used to wrestle in high school, and I remember I would like sleep in between bleachers between like events and like just try to take the time to like actually relax and try to recoup myself.
So some people sleep, some people like to watch the other events or just walk around and get shakeout runs in, but usually I just sit on the bleachers, listen to music, get in the right mindset for what's to come, or if I already raced, I go grab a bite to eat and then just hang out and watch the rest of my team compete.
What are you eating or drinking during that time? Because my track days, I remember walking tacos were a thing. After my race, I'd have a walking taco. I don't know how good that was for the next race. But what are you like eating or drinking during that time?
So the night before a race, cross country or track, I always try to have pasta. And then the morning of, I always have maple and brown sugar. Oatmeal, and then I
get your sugar fix,
bananas, and then I have black coffee with it, which I'll drink until I get on the line.
And when did that start? Like, is this something you've done in high school in terms of what you're eating, or did it kind of change as you came to college?
So in high school, I always had a peanut butter and jelly for breakfast before races, but then in college, I started having oatmeal every morning living in a dorm, and then it just kind of became a routine for me, so I make sure that I eat it on race days. And I started drinking coffee probably senior year of high school, and now I'm a bit of an addict with it, and I'll have two or three cups a day. So I just drink it around the clock.
Now, do your teammates, do they see, like, do they have similar habits as well in terms of what they eat, and do you see that a lot?
Everyone definitely has, like, their breakfast that they like to eat before a race. Some people eat, like, eggs and bagels and a ton of food, and other people hardly eat anything depending on when you race. So, everyone's definitely different in that aspect, but most people drink coffee. Everyone always calls me out when I'm drinking my coffee because they definitely know that I drink it the most.
And you said that you listen to music in between. We were talking about off air, how big of a piece that is for your pregame, pre-run prep. So what kind of music are you listening to usually when that happens?
So I usually listen to country music on the way to a meet, and then about an hour before, I'll put on some live Queen. And I'll only listen to that. Then with about half an hour to go until warm up, I'll listen to Queen's Live Aid set and then finish it off with Don't Stop Me Now.
So what if you lose your headphones or like the volume doesn't work or something? Like, would that throw you off, you think?
I will probably steal headphones from somebody on my team because I like to have that going in my head while I'm racing.
Is there any aspect of your routine that's kind of changes? Like, is there something that maybe it is before you do a race that changes a little bit, but you try and keep it in the same ballpark?
Nothing really changes. I mean, definitely what time I wake up, but I always get up, go eat breakfast, come back and get ready. I always make sure that I put in my horseshoe earrings and I put sparkles in my hair and sometimes on my face. And I always offer them to people, but nobody else wants them. And then we get going and get the ball rolling. Nothing really changes besides that.
I always thought it was interesting, like playing basketball, to see what my other teammates did. Because I wasn't a huge routine person, and to see my other teammates kind of go through this same thing every day was really interesting. And I always wondered, you know, if something went wrong, like how that affected their performance. Have you ever had a time when maybe you couldn't eat your maple and brown sugar, or you couldn't find your earrings and you lost them? Like, that was something that kind of scared me with doing routines.
Yeah. So last year at Princeton in cross country, one of my teammates that graduated showed up to surprise us. And when I jumped on her, I lost one of my earrings and I was searching in the grass up until we got ready to go. And I couldn't find the earring. And then eventually my mom came running over to me on the line and handed it to me. And she's like, look what I found. And then less than a week later in the mail, she sent me an extra pair. So I always have an extra pair of horseshoe earrings on me. But usually if something goes wrong, I try not to let it affect me. I just try to focus on the race and focus on what I'm doing, because you can't really focus on what's going to go wrong if you want something to go right.
Right. And is it different from home and away meets? Like, not home, but anything closer versus, like, a farther travel?
Well, since we don't really have meets here, it doesn't really affect us. But there's definitely a difference when you go to further away meets where you don't know as many of the teams and you don't recognize the faces versus an A10 meet where you know who you're competing against, what they've run in the past, what they've run this season, and you know where you're going to stack up in that line. So I really like going away and not knowing where I'm going to end up, because it lets me just focus on the race that I'm in at the time, because there's only 10 to 15 other girls on the track with you. But when I go to an A10 meet, all I can think about is, oh, well, she runs this. What am I going to run? Do I have to gauge, like, based off of where she is on the track? But I try my best not to let it affect me.
I'm sure listening to Queen kind of clears the headspace in terms of that.
Yeah.
Does your sleep come into play? Like, I would think being a chemical biology major, you have to stay up some late nights and study and be in the library a little past what other people are there. Do you have to get a certain amount of sleep, or are you kind of just, that's kind of something that comes and goes?
So my sleep's kind of random. Some nights I'll sleep for like 10 or 11 hours, and then other nights I'll sleep for 6 and I'll wake up feeling the same. Right. So it's just whatever I can get in the night before. Right. But at races, I usually try to get at least 8 hours of sleep.
Okay. And do you nap before a game or a meet, I should say? Sorry.
Whenever we get on the bus, some people just put a pillow next to the window and cover their head with a sweatshirt and they pass out for like 6 hours, but yeah. I could never do that. I don't know why. I just don't like to sleep because I wake up crankier than when I went to bed.
Yeah. I think for some people it's a calming factor. Like if they're sleeping, maybe they're like visualizing in their sleep or whatnot. Do you have any visualization you do, like picturing yourself, you know, kind of at the starting block or running in any way?
Yeah, so the night before, whenever I'm in bed, I always read excerpts from a book called The Secret that my mom gave me, and I think about my race and how I want it to play out in my head. And then there's a pro runner who ran for Oregon that I always love to watch race because she's a really great runner and she's very tactical. So I always watch one or two of her races right before I get on the line, and I was like, that's going to be me today.
Yeah, we were talking about that before this, just how you watch other people race and not necessarily yourself, which I think is kind of interesting for someone who basketball, baseball, like you're watching film or you're watching how you're doing certain things. It's interesting to hear that you're just looking at other runners and seeing kind of how they go. Can you kind of explain why you do that?
So if you want to be successful, you have to see successful people. That's what I think about, at least. So I like to watch successful races and see how people went about doing that. So whenever we're at a meet and we know there's going to be a pro race going on, we always try to watch it and see how they're racing. But if we can't get that opportunity, then we'll always watch videos of it.
Right.
But we never really film ourselves practicing. So I was telling you guys before, like, if you think about your body being a certain way during a workout or during a regular run, and you think about that form, then you'll most likely be able to get that form. You just have to think, like, up on your feet, keep your elbows in, keep your back straight, and you'll be doing it. So it's a lot of picturing what you want to look like in your head and how you want to race or a workout or a regular run just to go down.
I think that's really interesting, because I'm sure if you thought about your jump shot every time, like right before taking it, I don't think it would do you any good.
It'd probably be pretty stiff. Yeah.
Yeah. And like it would be mechanical, but is it a mechanical thought process?
Running is a mechanical sport because everything's based on having the best form and being able to turn over your legs the fastest. So we're kind of like robots going around the track, whereas other people playing different sports definitely have their own style to it. So there's not really a style. It's just getting around the track faster than everyone else.
So having like all these rituals, all these things, talking about how it's a mechanical sport, how do you keep your head clear? You know, you want to visualize, you want to have these things that prep you so that you know you're prepared. But when it comes down to just getting out there and running, how do you kind of clear your head and just allow your feet to move, you know, how
you
want them to?
So you definitely have to remember that all you're doing is getting out there and running. So this past weekend, we were racing up at Ocean Breeze in Staten Island. And we didn't even realize that our heat was about to go off. There were five of us running the mile. And all of a sudden, the officials were like, where's St. Joe's? You guys need to get on the line right now. And everything just washed away. And we got on the track, and it was my best race this season just because I wasn't thinking about anything. So it's pretty easy to overthink beforehand. But at the end of the day, if you get on the track and you just do what you are trained to do, then you're going to have a successful race.
Yeah. Now you're going to ask them to just not tell you about the race from here on out. I don't want to know until 5 minutes before.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about mechanically thinking about your stride and your form. You have to, like, almost train your breathing, from what I understand, in running. So is there, like, breathing processes that you guys do before?
There's not really any breathing training to do, but we work out, like I said, at Haverford, and it gets really hot in there. So during workouts, you're definitely able to focus on that breathing and your form a lot more than you do during a race, because during a race, you're focusing on the girl in front of you. So it's like a lot of preparation beforehand that it's just like muscle memory. During a race, you're going to remember to hit the heel of, or the ball of your foot instead of the heel of your foot. You're going to remember to breathe properly. You'll be sure to keep your elbows in just because you've practiced it so many times.
And can you talk about the team aspect? You kind of touched on it early on. How does having people running by you kind of motivate you or keep you kind of in sync? Can you talk about that? Because I don't think of track necessarily or cross country as a team sport, but it really is. You know, looking at it and seeing certain stats, like, you guys are really working together as kind of one unit. So
yeah, so during cross country this year was probably my favorite memory, was probably at the Paul Short meet. I was running with Emily Bracken and Abby Silva, and a group of girls was moving up on us, and we were kind of together, kind of spaced out. And Abby Silva stuck her hand back and just kind of motioned for us to get up on her shoulder. And the two of us just got up there and started running with her as a pack. And we didn't even pay attention to the girls that were coming up on us because we started passing other people. So we definitely have to work together as a team. And, like, there's little cues that you can do. And, like, since that race, I've seen Emily, myself, and Abby all do the little hand motion to be like, come on, get with me. Because those are the girls that I train with the most, and I race with them the most often. So we definitely do it during practice as well.
Right. Well, Brendan and I are going to start running together. I think we're going to try. We're going to try and motivate each other, be our own little team here.
Two laps around the track, maybe. That's
we just have to eat. What is it? Maple and brown sugar in the morning, coffee before, and we'll be set. But we appreciate you being on. It's so interesting. Yeah, it's so interesting to hear, you know, what your routine is like, and you really do have a set, you know, routine. And I think it's something that people might tap into and say, oh, okay, maybe I'll eat brown sugar and maple syrup in the morning. But thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you to our guests on this week's podcast about pregame rituals. We have Mary Sheehan from women's basketball and Emily Schaefer from women's cross country and track and field. You can find the Kettle Club and any other St. Joseph Sports Network podcasts at sjuhawks.com/podcasts. You can also find us on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, and the TuneIn app. Just search for St. Joseph Sports Network. We'll see you next time, because the Hawk will never die.
Handle all your banking remotely with Univest Mobile Platform. Easy, convenient, secure, because life needs a little more wow. Live life, stay connected with Univest. Univest Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Rothman Orthopedics, the official team physicians of your St. Joseph's Hawks, provides the region with unmatched orthopedic care. For more information or to schedule an appointment, visit www.rothmanortho.com. For orthopedic excellence, think Rothman first. We'll be right back.